Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine. The Boulder Police Department says residents sheltering at home during the coronavirus pandemic should protect themselves from petty thieves who want to take advantage of the situation. We'll have more coming up after headlines. Then, personal protective equipment remains an issue for so many medical and frontline staff. We'll hear from one Colorado medical group on how they're faring and how the community is stepping up to donate needed equipment. After that, advocates for those experiencing homelessness have for weeks been calling for action to house people during this pandemic. The state has enacted some changes, including the opening of new shelters. We'll hear from the Colorado Sun on some of the efforts that are being made. No comments left on the comment line this week, so after headlines from the BBC at the bottom of the hour, we'll turn to science. And today on How on Earth, the Science Show team shares how, in this time when national testing is backed up, Berkeley scientists are helping the city of Berkeley test for COVID-19. They'll also talk with a medical doctor who says that reducing spikes of the hormone leptin can reduce the risk of a COVID-19 cytokine storm. At 9 o'clock, it is Alan Watts rounding out this morning's News and Public Affairs. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. On Monday, state oil and gas regulators fined a subsidiary of Occidental Petroleum Corporation with an $18.25 million fine for its role in a house explosion in Firestone that killed two men 3 years ago. Federal investigators concluded that the explosion was caused by natural gas leaking into the home from an underground pipe that had been severed. The fine is the largest ever imposed by the state against an energy company. The Denver Post reports that the fine was levied against Kerr McGee, a subsidiary of Occidental Petroleum Corporation. Kerr McGee was a subsidiary of Anadarko Petroleum, which oversaw the pipeline at the time of the explosion. Anadarko was subsequently purchased by Occidental. The JBS meatpacking plant in Greeley announced yesterday that it would close its plant from yesterday through April 24th to deal with an outbreak of the novel coronavirus amongst workers there. The union representing workers say that more than 50 of the nearly 6,000 employees at the meatpacking plant have tested positive. The company has been criticised for workers for not providing protective equipment or for enacting social distancing measures to help with the spread of the virus. So far, at least two workers there have died from COVID-19. Governor Polis said on Monday that the company is working with state and local health officials on testing and containment.
They're working with us, County Health in Weld County, Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, on communicating to their employees about a plant-wide quarantine and testing during this time to ensure that they can reopen as soon as possible. There'll be sanitization of the plant. There will be limited work happening with limited staff wearing appropriate personal protective equipment, but not at production capacity until we can work hard to make it reopen as soon as possible. And the way that we can bring the plant back online is not unlike any other critical part of our economy. It's mass testing, containment, to make sure that those who are sick are not coming to work, and providing protective equipment and masks to relevant employees and those who might have been exposed.
Governor Polis said that members of the National Guard will be deployed to help with testing workers at the JBS plant in Greeley. Hundreds of prisoners in the state could be eligible for early release in an effort to stop the spread of the novel coronavirus. This is thanks to an executive order signed by Governor Jared Polis. Alejandra Wilcox has more.
Hundreds of prisoners could be eligible for this early release due to COVID-19, thanks to a recent executive order from Governor Jared Polis. The order allows the Corrections Department more flexibility in managing how many people are incarcerated. For example, Corrections Executive Director Dean Williams can stop the intake of newly sentenced inmates from surrounding county jails. Williams told the Denver Post that with these new measures in place, the prison system's vacancy rate has grown from 1% to 4%. He called the change remarkable. However, Williams also said that in order to properly fight the pandemic, the prison system will need to release at least 500 to 700 inmates from its population of approximately 17,000. This will allow the Department of Corrections to close a housing unit and transfer that unit's staff to a vacant facility. The department hopes they could transform the empty prison into a quarantine facility, where new inmates would be taken for 2 weeks before joining the general population. Once the quarantine facility is operating, the department plans to continue decreasing prison populations in order to better implement social distancing. For KGNU, I'm Alejandra Wilcox.
On Monday evening, the Denver City Council unanimously passed a proclamation urging Colorado Governor Jared Polis to freeze rent payments for anybody unable to pay because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Denverite reports that the letter asks the governor to, quote, use the full legal extent of his emergency power to impose an immediate moratorium on residential and small business commercial rent payments for those unable to pay, end quote. This is as a result of the pandemic, which is ravaging the local economy. Council members also asked Denver's congressional delegates, as well as President Donald Trump, to freeze mortgage payments for those who are impacted. Governor Polis has said that he does not support a freeze on rents. Rather, he's asking cities to implement other measures, like increasing rent subsidies. With all students in Colorado now doing online learning, many are struggling because they have limited access to the technology that's needed. Steve Miller has more.
Currently, there are about 55,000 Colorado students who don't have access to a computer or Chromebook, and about 64,000 don't have access to the internet. Governor Jared Polis could extend the April 30th closed school order to beyond the end of the month. The Colorado Sun reports that as of now, at least 20 school districts of Colorado's 178 school districts have decided on remote schooling for the rest of the academic year. Access to technology is complicating the move to online learning. Some households lack internet connection and computers or tablets. In 75 school districts in Colorado, more than 10% of households have no internet connection. And in 112 school districts, more than 10% of households do not have a computer, amplifying the equity access gap among students. Denver Public Schools, a district of about 92,000 students, has distributed about 40,000 devices, mostly Chromebooks, to students in the past few weeks. DPS is also talking to internet service providers nationwide to ask about options to local families for internet access and by distributing hotspots. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
And in the weather today, warmer temperatures around the Front Range in the forecast, highs in the low 40s with sunny skies, but then a slight chance of some snow showers coming back in, mainly afternoon and lingering overnight. But we'll also have some wind coming in tomorrow. Warmer again for Wednesday, highs in the low 50s, but temperatures dropping again with snow likely Wednesday night and staying with us through Friday. Temperatures dropping back down into the low 30s. It is 12 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. The Boulder Police Department is warning residents of an increase in burglaries since the outbreak of the novel coronavirus. KGNU's Roz Brown spoke to the city's crime prevention officer, who says that most are opportunistic crimes committed by people taking advantage of the rest of us who are sheltering inside our homes.
Mitch Trujillo is Boulder's Community Services and Crime Prevention Officer. He says between March 1st and April 10th, there were 79 burglary reports. That compares to 28 during the same period last year.
About 80% of those were residences that were unlocked, and over 60% of the victims were at home when it happened.
Trujillo says stay-at-home orders have led some bad actors to exploit the COVID-19 crisis because there's less foot traffic and neighborhood activity.
One of the things that we often see is with opportunistic thief, really what we're looking at too is, even if the residence is locked up, make sure that you check your locks and make sure that they're adequate locks and that the door is actually adequate and it can't be easily forced.
He says thieves are looking for easy access.
Sometimes what we have are people that they might be home, might be in a different part of the residence. They might leave the front door unlocked, yet, you know, their window blinds are open and in plain view is their laptop on the coffee table. It's not everything that is easily portable, easily taken, and holds a significant value. Those things take off and grow legs.
According to Trujillo, Boulder homeowners have reported missing bikes or other valuables stolen from garages.
Sometimes you have a situation where you have a detached garage underneath your actual residence or something like that. It's not immediately accessible. Sometimes there are many people that are using the garage, or sometimes the security is lax or it's just not being monitored. What we recommend is, many times if you're at home but you don't have immediate vision, you can't see your garage, then you should probably secure it. You should probably lock it up, because what we get a lot of times is people just run in, grab a bike, and take off, and that's considered a burglary. Thieves are looking for easy access. Reinforce your doors and windows, you know, with security bars if they're needed. I'd say at night, you know, the common sense stuff, turn your lights on, use motion sensing lights. If you have a security system, make sure it's working, because it's a deterrent, but it's good to have. Don't hide spare keys. If you just moved, you should be changing your locks. You shouldn't showcase or tell everybody on social media that you're going to be gone. And just keep your valuables out of sight, your tools and your bikes, just making it more difficult for the opportunistic thief. You may not prevent the crime. Essentially what you're doing is you're probably displacing it.
He says it's not just homeowners, but Boulder businesses have also reported break-ins.
You know, oftentimes the businesses haven't actually audited their keys or changed their locks in a long period of time, and former employees still have keys. So those are things, you know, just safeguards, things that they ought to think about and they probably should try to do.
Trujillo reminds us that Boulder is typically a safe community, but these are not normal times.
You know, we have residences that have been burglarized because the homeowners kept tools and ladders in plain sight, you know, to be used by the potential burglar. So, you know, just some of those things are going to go a long way in protecting your valuables.
For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, the shortage of PPE, or personal protective equipment, for essential workers, and in particular for frontline medical workers, has been a major story. Different medical groups are working to source their own PPE, while the state is also working to bring more equipment to Colorado. I spoke with Dr. Shauna Gully with Centura Health on what they've been doing.
Personal protective equipment, or PPE as we are calling it so commonly these days, is the medical equipment we use to keep our care providers safe and our patients safe when in a medical facility. So specifically, that may mean face shields and goggles, or it may mean different types of masks that we use, different types of gowns that we use, and sometimes even shoe or hair coverings.
So for the context of what we're dealing with right now with COVID-19, what is the most crucial PPE that the medical professionals really need?
Well, really most of what I previously listed. So the most critical PPE that we are using on COVID-19 patients are face masks, or face shields that cover the face masks, which may be surgical face masks or N95 respirators, gowns, and gloves.
Prior to all of this, was it ever an issue to have access to the right equipment in hospitals and most medical settings here in Colorado?
The global supply chain shortage and the disruption in the global supply chain is a new thing for hospitals within Colorado, and certainly for Centura Health. Prior to this, we had no difficulty getting the types of supplies we needed to keep our caregivers and our patients protected at all times.
And what is the current situation?
The global supply chain has been fairly disrupted, as I think most people in Colorado and the nation are aware of. And so it's very important for us to conserve personal protective equipment everywhere we can.
So what does that look like, say, for nurses, for doctors, all staff now in your medical facilities, in terms of what they actually have access to?
At Centura Health, we still have the ability to provide all of our personal protective equipment for our caregivers, whether it's the doctors or the nurses or the environmental services professionals cleaning our rooms. We are being very conservative in how we are choosing to deploy that. We are very careful not to waste personal protective equipment, and we are thinking and working through creative solutions to re-sterilize personal protective equipment.
So give us a sense of what that looks like, because I think so many people who've had any experience in a doctor's office or a medical facility, you know, get the fact that this is so often disposable, right? That you get a mask and then after one use, it's thrown away. Same with gloves. You know, give us a sense of what it looks like now.
For the most part, it doesn't look a lot different than what it looked like in the past, especially to a consumer coming in to receive medical care. That said, in previous days, we may have boxes of masks just sitting on counters, freely available for people to take as many as they needed. Now we're careful about how we distribute those masks and are ensuring that everyone is used as it should be used.
So does everybody who needs one get one,
yes,
essentially?
Absolutely, they do.
Well, given that you're very much part of this global supply chain, I mean, what does the future look like? Because certainly from the state public health officials' perspective, Colorado has not at all hit the peak in terms of the number of patients. And so when you're planning ahead, what does the PPE and the personal protective equipment situation look like?
The conservation strategies around PPE are very important to all of us within the state of Colorado. We are taking very thoughtful measures to ensure that we never waste some of these critical components of our PPE. And there are also some creative things that many of the people around the state have helped us with. We've had face shields donated by some of our business partners within the community. We have gowns, plastic barrier gowns, being produced here locally so that we can give additional gowns to our nursing and doctor teams. So there are some creative solutions that we previously didn't use that we use every day now.
You know, to that end, now that Governor Polis has given a directive that he would like all Coloradoans to wear some type of mask, but really emphasizing that the medical grade masks need to be preserved for folks working in the medical field, are you seeing that impact, you know, some of the supply at all?
Well, we certainly have had an outpouring of donations from the community with medical grade masks. As you can imagine, many different industries use medical grade masks in their day-to-day operations, whether it be veterinary clinics or laboratories. And those largely have become part of our supply chain, donating to us so that we can use those medical grade masks in our hospitals and clinics where needed.
I know one of the big aspects of this is a big community outpouring in support of medical workers, and a lot of people have been making masks at home. Now, a lot of this is for their own personal use, as directed and advised by the state health officials. But I know some folks were also wondering if they could make masks for healthcare facilities as well. So just give people some guidance on what is appropriate to donate, what kind of equipment maybe folks might have at home that would actually be beneficial, and maybe what is not something that can be used in a medical scenario.
So one of the most important things that we continue to ask for is blood donations. And now for people who have tested COVID positive 19 and recovered, blood plasma donations so that we can potentially treat patients in the hospital. That's critically important for us today and every day. In addition, people are donating food, especially shelf-stable food for our healthcare workers. We are using medical-grade masks for those individuals that have patient contact. So that's typically something that we may see as a donation, and if it's medical-grade personal protective equipment, we'll certainly be able to use that in our facilities. Some people have brought by homemade masks, and for those individuals that are not having direct patient care, they are definitely allowed to use those homemade masks, but typically we're asking for other things like blood donations, plasma donations, and shelf-stable food for those people who are not able to get away during working hours.
I know there's so much discussion about the PPE, the federal stock of PPE, how Governor Polis is trying to source protective equipment from China and different places. You know, for an organization like Centura, do you tap into what's happening at a state level and work with them? Is it something that your organization is dealing with on your own, trying to source it? I guess I'm trying to get us the scope of how different medical facilities are actually trying to access PPE within the global supply chain.
So we think Governor Polis has done an incredible job advocating on all of our behalf, and we certainly have had some state help in sourcing some of our PPE. We've also received some PPE from FEMA distributions as well. Those have been quite limited, and so we've continued to work independent of those two mechanisms also.
That's Dr. Shauna Gully with Centura Health. There's a lot more information about ways to donate PPE and food and some of the other donations that Dr. Gully outlined. And they're doing them at various different Centura facilities throughout the Front Range, including Louisville, in Longmont, also in Englewood. And you can find out more information at their website. It's centura.org, Centura, C-E-N-T-U-R-A. .org. Scroll down to the bottom of their page and you can click on the link that says great ways to donate during the COVID-19 pandemic. And throughout the coming days, we're going to be highlighting various different groups, organizations, nonprofits, and individuals who are taking part in these protective equipment PPE drives to provide the vital equipment for local medical staff. Well, for weeks, advocates for those experiencing homelessness have been calling for action to house people during the pandemic. There has been a spike in those being diagnosed with COVID-19 amongst those experiencing homelessness in Denver. Well, the state has enacted some changes, including the opening of a 600-bed shelter at the National Western Stock Show Complex in Denver. KDNK's Gavin Dahl spoke with Mo Clark, a reporter at the Colorado Sun, who's been following what's happening with the homeless community.
From my reporting and folks that I've spoken to about this topic, almost all of the shelters are very packed at the moment, and it's been pretty impossible for guests to social distance while also receiving the resources and support that they need during this time as businesses and other organizations close during this crisis. So the goal is to move folks into a bigger space so that they're able to adequately social distance and still be able to get the resources that they need.
At a news conference on Tuesday, Denver Mayor Michael Hancock said the effort represents a, quote, unprecedented amount of cooperation between providers and the city. Is this new space at the stock show, is this seen as good news by homeless advocates?
Yeah, I would say that. I know I've heard from a lot of folks that are eager for things to happen faster. And I know the mayor also talked about the need for more hotel and motel rooms. So this new complex, while it's bigger, it doesn't provide additional space for more beds. So I think advocates and shelters are still pushing for these additional rooms where folks can self-isolate if they do have the virus or they're released from the hospital and don't have a place to go to recover. So I think this is a good first step, and people are excited about the team effort. The Colorado Coalition for the Homeless will be providing medical services in this new complex, but I think they're still hopeful for more things to come.
What is the trajectory of this development that the city of Denver is now providing hotel rooms as shelter for people with COVID-19 symptoms? Is the expectation that this will be ramped up if necessary?
Yeah, that has been the understanding. And during the same announcement from Mayor Hancock, he said that the city has secured 151 more hotel rooms, which brings the total up to 270 But in the same speech, he also said that 97 of those rooms, as of Monday night, are already occupied by either individuals that are showing symptoms or are recovering from the virus.
And do we know what's in the works for women who are homeless?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the big next question. There are talks of a similar shelter for women who are experiencing homelessness during this time. And there's a couple other organizations that are helping to house families. But the talks are that there'll be a similar one for women coming online shortly. And I'll definitely be tracking that down as plans continue to unravel.
Anything else you're hearing from the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless that you've specifically reported or that you haven't been able to fit into a story in terms of what they're looking for right now from the leaders at the local level or also from, broader community members?
I think a big thing and a big message from the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless and other organizations that are working to support people that are experiencing homelessness during this time is that, like, none of this is new. These are issues that they've been working on for years, and everything's kind of ramped up right now to try to do things quicker to support people during this time. But a lot of these issues have been here for a while.
That's Colorado Sun reporter Mo Clark speaking with KDNK's Gavin Dahl about her reporting into how the state and the city of Denver is dealing with COVID-19 amongst the community of those experiencing homelessness. Well, on Monday, Governor Jared Polis sent an open letter to hotels asking that they reconsider allowing homeless people to stay at their hotel. Hotel owners have been asked for weeks by service providers and city officials, but not that many have actually opened up their rooms to those experiencing homelessness. Denver Homeless Out Loud is calling on the governor to order order hotels and motels to provide emergency housing for those experiencing homelessness. And we'll continue to follow that and uncover the story right here at KGNU.